Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22. But first we will sing Psalter 179, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let God arise, and by his might let all his foes be put to flight. But O ye righteous, gladly sing, exult before your God and King. 1, 2, and 3 of 179.
Before we read God's word, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she had also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. Hus, his firstborn, Pers, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram. And Chesed, and Haso, and Pildas, and Jiflath, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begot Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Rumah, she bare also Tiba and Gaham, and Thahash and Maacha. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, when it is again in this morning hour of thy holy day that we may receive once again that inestimable privilege to gather round thy word of truth within thy house of prayer, then we begin by beseeching thee for thy indispensable blessing upon thy word. For thou knowest what will become of us when we have alone the form, and when we have the blessing in an outward way, and we will die as we have been born. Then thou wilt be forever just in casting us away in that place where hope shall never come, where there shall be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, thou knowest all our hearts. Then as we have been born, we are careless. For there is not one that raises his desire and cry to thee by nature, though we have been taught from the days of our youth to fold our hands and to bow our knees. But with our lips we honor thee, and our heart that is so far from thee. Lord, wilt thou give a deep impression by the saving operation of thy Holy Spirit in this morning hour of the greatness of our misery, of the depth of our fall, from the height which thou hast created us, that we may learn to go bow down over this world with that burden of our guilt that lies upon us because of our own sin. Wilt thou open our eyes, therefore, and give to us hearts that may sorrow and that may mourn, because we have left thee our Maker and Creator, and because there is not the least inclination in our hearts to return, but all the glamour of this world and all that it has to offer, even though we see day after day that it is passing away and soon to be swallowed up in a great and never-ending destruction. Oh, grant us then understanding hearts in thy house of prayer in this morning hour. And when we have never, from the day of our birth, had the least inclination for thee, oh, could it please thee to stretch forth thine hand in this morning hour and to make it different by the power of thy Spirit. Oh, that that life may be born, that that hunger and that thirst, that that may begin to be experienced in the hearts of young and old, that longing that in the night is not satisfied, except that thou wouldst give food and drink out of thy holy word. O Lord, remember such in the midst of us who do thirst and who hunger and do long for thee, and yet they are not satisfied. O Lord, thou sayest that those that ask, they shall receive. Those that seek, they shall find. And those that knock, to them it shall be opened. And when it has not been opened unto us as of yet, oh, then it can be one of two things. Then it can be that we are no seekers, and we are no askers. We are no knockers, and so it is by nature. But it can also be that it is not yet thy time for the opening, and thou knowest how long that it can be in the life of those seekers whom thou hast made. Thou knowest where they are, Lord, in the places where they do bow their knees in secret before thee, where no natural eye can see them, and where no human heart can enter into the burden of their soul. But Lord, thou knowest, for thou dwellest on high, but thou beholdest the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. Then there is no place secret, though that we take the wings of a dove and do fly away to the uttermost part of the earth. There thine eye does still see us. And though that we are even in the womb of our mother, oh, there thou knowest, O Lord, remember then each and every one of those that do carry a burden over this world and that cannot go on anymore in that way that they have been born. We do not know, Lord, where that they are, but thou knowest them. Oh, could it please thee in this day and in this season, where that longing that was given by thee also to give the answer unto it. Oh, that they may be given to experience in thy house of prayer, that one day in thy courts is better than a thousand dwelling in the tents of wickedness. O Lord, wilt thou come back also upon thy own work, when there can be in the life of thy children so much dearth and so much famine, so much hardness and so much coldness, so that they know not anymore where those days are gone by, that they have come up with a desire and longing to the house of the Lord. O Lord, could it please thee then also to remember thy children and to revive thy own work in the midst of the years, to build up the walls of Jerusalem, to satisfy the meek with a little bit of bread. And wilt thou remember all those that need thee also in special ways in this world? The needy, they are great because of our own sin and the suffering in this world. That is more than we know in all the prosperity that thou givest to us and to our children. But wilt thou supply for all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have lost their loved ones, in all the disasters that have taken place also in this world, where there is also great need for clothing and shelter and food and drink and love. O Lord, that thou may look upon them in the places where they are, and give to experience that thou still livest. Remember all those that also may receive the days of commemoration in this life, when they may commemorate that thou hast spared them in this life. Those that may be glad and thankful before thee, wilt thou humble the hearts in thy sight? Oh, that thou may give also a place of true repentance under thy goodness, and that thy goodness may lead to thy footstool. Strengthen thy servants and all that bring thy word this day. Go forth with all those that do preach, that do read, that do labor in thy kingdom over the length and breadth of the whole world. The student also in his studies and all that instruct him, and that thou may bring thy word with increasing numbers of servants in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation, a lost world, but a world to whom thou hast given a promise, as we hope to hear in this morning hour, when thou wilt give it also unto us. But Lord, thou knowest that we of ourselves, we cannot find the length and the breadth and the depth that is in thy word. Then we know that thy word that is so very full, and within it there are mysteries, wherein thou wilt instruct thy own children. But Lord, then we cannot see them unless thou wilt open them unto us. We beseech it of thee also in this morning hour. Thou alone who can open our eyes and our understandings and our hearts, as thy servant and as those who may hear. O Lord, wilt thou look on us and come unto us, strengthening us in our body for the work in this hour, but also in our mind and in our soul, that we may receive by renewal a love for souls traveling to a great eternity. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity, and grant us undeservedly a blessed hour in thy favor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 176, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face, that so thy way most holy on earth may soon be known, and unto every people thy saving grace be shown. The last collection today is for our school, 176. As stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation, the year that is very quickly drawing to a close. Soon, the Lord willing, we hope to commemorate Christmas, the coming of the Son of God in the flesh, the taking upon Himself our human nature. Never has a more important, a more significant event taken place in this world. And yet, to how few has He revealed Himself? We think about a humble Zacharias and Elizabeth. We think about the lowly shepherds. We think about an humble and godly Simeon and Anna. And yet it has not remained that way. No, in an external way. And then where in the world, among all the nations of men, is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ completely unknown? Although we know that it is a doctrine greatly corrupted and that is also despised by many. What a great significance is this event. In an objective way, the incarnation of Christ, that is the very first step in His humiliation, that He has come as in the form we read of a servant. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Subjectively, that is an event when it may be experienced in our life that we will never forget. The birth of the Son of God. That is to be remembered and more and known more than at the time of our regeneration. But congregation, in these weeks, these coming weeks, we call them the weeks of Advent, where it is our custom, because of the great significance of this event, that we consider the expectation of God's church for His coming. There is an expectation because there is a promise. Because if there was no promise, then there would also be no expectation. But how is it for us when we make this consideration in these coming weeks, because the world is busy, and when we go to the malls, and then we can see what is in the thought, in the heart, what is the whole life of man in a superficial way in this world. And we are not opposed that we give gifts, children, to give a gift, that is a very nice thing. But we would like to give you some advice, and that is that you leave it for another time. For another time. Because we have hearts, we have the world in our heart already. and when we have to join the world, and then the spirit of the world that is also so quickly taken up by us. If our heart is in the world, then how will it be when we may commemorate the Lord willing on the day of Christmas, the coming of His Son? Then it will be like that inn in Bethlehem where we read that there was no room. May the Lord give us a need. May the Lord give us a desire. And may the Lord give also prayer to you, that we may receive a little light into His Word in the weeks that are to come, that there may be a hunger, that there may be a thirst, and that there may be place for that child in our hearts. The Lord remember us so altogether. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to make a little beginning in this morning hour by considering the words of our text, which we have heard read out of Genesis 22. And we wish to consider in a special way the first part of verse 18. Genesis 2, verse 18, the first part. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So far, the words of our text. The promised seed to be a blessing to all nations. First, wherein this blessing lies. And second, to whom this blessing is promised. The promised seed to be a blessing to all nations. First, wherein this blessing lies. And second, to whom this blessing is promised. Thus, our text that speaks about a blessing. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Is that not a wonder? It is the word of God. It is the revelation of God. It is the revelation of the will of God. And the Lord, He is speaking about a blessing. To whom? To the nations of the earth. Thus, He is speaking about a blessing to mankind. And it would be one thing when He would have been speaking about a blessing to mankind as He has created him. But He is not speaking about a blessing to such mankind. But He is speaking about a blessing to fallen mankind. That is, mankind who has come under the curse. The ground is cursed. The earth is cursed for the sake of mankind. And man is cursed. Because He says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And then He is speaking about a blessing to mankind who is cursed because of his sin. Congregation, is that now not a great wonder? Did we ever lose our right to all blessings? The blessings of the time? The blessings for eternity, because the true spiritual blessing that will be given to those who have lost their right to the blessing. We all seek a blessing. you two children. Both Jacob and Esau, they sought a blessing. Also Esau, hast thou but one blessing for me, Father? Bless me, even me also, O my Father. That was Esau. We all seek a blessing, but we seek different kinds of blessings because there are temporal blessings. There are blessings of this world. And then there are spiritual blessings. There are blessings that belong to the world to come. Thus we may ask ourselves, each one of us individually in this morning hour, before the Lord, our own conscience, that is where we have to come. What are the blessings? What kind of blessings are we seeking for? We congregation are so ignorant. The children of Israel, they desired meat, and the Lord gave them bread. Then the Lord gave them quails. But it was out of the Lord's left hand. And it was not for them a blessing. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Who is speaking? It is, we read, the angel of the Lord. Actually, it is the Lord himself. It is Jehovah. And he is speaking. He is speaking out of heaven. And to whom is he speaking? He is speaking unto Abraham. And of whom is he speaking? He is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope to see that. Is this the first time that the Lord in the Old Testament has spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think, children? Is that the first time in the Old Testament that we can read about the Lord Jesus? I think some of you will know the answer. You will say no. That is the first time. The first time that is in Genesis 3, the first time that was immediately after man has fallen, that the Lord has spoken about his only begotten Son that he would send into the world. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. That is the gospel that does not begin in the New Testament. No, the gospel that begins already in the Old Testament. Why? It was necessary. Were God's children also in the Old Testament? Certainly they were. Thus they needed also to hear of that way of salvation. They also needed a mediator between God and their soul. Do you need one also? What was the difference between that gospel as it was revealed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? That is the difference between the promise and the fulfillment. Thus, it was in the Old Testament in the way we say of a bud, and in the New Testament that is in the way of a flower that is now open, that we may see more of what is inside, and that we may behold the great beauty. Oh, we live in a privileged time. You say we live in the end times. Yes. We live in serious times, yes. We live in wicked times, yes. We live in times when Satan, he is loosed, yes. But we live also in a greatly privileged time. Oh, we live in times wherein the prophecies that are written in the Word of God, and they are evidently set before our eyes as never before in the history of the world. Oh, congregation, what do we do with those treasures that are given unto us in this time in which we live? In the Old Testament, it was in the way of promise. And those promises, they were given in an increasing manner, step by step, more and more is revealed concerning the coming of the Son of God in the flesh. But it is something, because if you read of those revelations, then you see how that those revelations, they did not come except by way of great trials. There is no different today in the life of God's children, that the revelations of Himself, the speaking of the Lord, that is coming by way of trial and affliction in the life of His children, because the Lord, He is not wasting His own grace. What was the way for Abraham? Abraham, behold, here I am. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. That is the trial. They are the circumstances. Oh, what an obedience. What an obedience. An obedience, we would say, that is an obedience that is past the strength of a human being. That is an obedience that the God of heaven and earth is remarking about, and giving unto him also even a reward. A reward. Is that then the basis of that grace for Abraham? No. And yet there is a reward. What a faith that becomes evident, that becomes manifest in the life of Abraham in that trial. That faith that will be spoken of even unto the ends of the world. What does Paul say? He says, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead, because the life of that boy, Abraham's and the church's entire salvation, it was dependent upon it. It is upon this obedience, it is upon this faith that the Lord, He is speaking. We read the Lord is coming a second time, and He is speaking unto Abraham out of heaven. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Is that the first time that the Lord has come to Abraham? Is that the first time that the Lord has given a promise unto Abraham? No. No, we read also already in Genesis 12 that the Lord is coming to him, and the Lord says, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was also in the way of a great trial. Get thee from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will tell thee of. In thee. But here we read more. Because what does the Lord say? He says, not only in thee, but he says, in thy seed. In thy seed. And then Paul gives an interpretation of this promise by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Thus, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who will give the meaning of his own word, Paul, he says that the Lord was speaking here not just of the children of Abraham, but of Christ himself. Thus, there is no question. In that word seed, we have the promise of the incarnation of the mediator. The incarnation, that it will be thy seed. That means that he will be one of that human race. Is that new? A new revelation? You say, no. That was the revelation already that was given unto our parents after the fall. Because there the Lord has already said, has spoken about the seed of the woman. So what is the Lord doing here in the life of Abraham? The Lord is coming back upon it. Coming back upon it. How is that, people of the Lord? Do you desire that the Lord would come back upon it? That the Lord would say it unto you again? It is necessary that the Lord is coming back upon his own word often in the life of his children. Why? Because of the lack of faith. That is because of unbelief. That is because of the lack of the exercise of faith. How good or how long-suffering is the Lord to his people. And that incarnation that was so important and is so important in the life of the church. Why is that incarnation so significant? I think our children, they can say something of it from catechism class. It is because of the requirement of the mediator. That mediator, he must be three things, boys and girls. He must be what? He must be very God. He must be a real man. And he must be a real righteous man. You say, did they have that catechism then in the Old Testament time? Abraham? No. So those of the Old Testament church, did they know that what the requirements of that mediator had to be? Yes. Yes. How did they know that? Well, because of sin. Of sin. And we know that the sacrifices from the beginning, when the Lord has made that first one to clothe Adam and Eve, and which has been practiced by the fathers through the scriptures, in those sacrifices themselves, then that people could find no freedom. The apostle, he says that there is no more conscience of sins when the Lord is coming to apply his only begotten Son. No more conscience of sins. What does that mean? That means, children, that when it is in our conscience that we have done wrong, that is now gone. It is gone. Just like when it is in our conscience that we have done right. That is the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin in the experience of our heart. And from the beginning, when they were offering those sacrifices, then it was experienced, though they had no catechism, then it was experienced that the blood of bulls and of goats cannot take away sin. Thus, they understood, they knew, they felt, they experienced something of the necessity of that mediator to be a man. To be a man. That he would be incarnate. That he would come, that he would be one of us in our flesh. Thus, how important that repetition of that promise was, that was given already after our fall, that the Lord is coming again in the midst of the years of the church, because it was also such a long time. It was 2,000 years from Adam unto Abraham. And it will be another 2,000 years from Abraham unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, it is of the mercies of the Lord in the midst of that Old Testament time that the Lord is coming again. And that the Lord is saying it again, and that the Lord is increasing also that revelation that he will give his only begotten Son. Because there is also a narrowing. We see the time is going on, those 2,000 years, and then in those after that time, the Lord, he is narrowing that promise. That he says it will not only be in the flesh, and it will not only be the seed of the woman, but it is now going to be of that family of Abraham. And now there is something else. There is more, because we read here that at this time, the Lord, he is swearing an oath. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Thus he swears. And he swears by his own name. Again, the Apostle Paul, he says, when God came and gave promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. There is no greater certainty of the confirmation of the promise of God than for God to swear by himself. And why? Well, young people, because of especially one of those incommunicable attributes that we have been studying. You know what they are? The simplicity of God, the eternity of God, the independence of God, the omniscience, the omnipresence of God, and the unchangeableness of God. Thus, when God swears by himself, and we have learned those attributes, they are God himself, and then God, he is making certain, absolutely certain, in the midst and in the heart of his church, the fulfillment of his own promise. That is the remarkable thing. This is something, the swearing of an oath, that has taken place only once among the patriarchs. Never do we read it again. But this oath, we can read that is the mainstay of the certainty of the church for the next 2,000 years until that time that Christ is actually coming in the flesh. Abraham, later on, when he will seek a wife for his son, that will be for the bringing forth of his seed for his posterity. And then he is going back unto this promise of the Lord. When he is speaking unto his servant Eliezer, and he says, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my kindred, and who spake unto me and who sware unto me, saying unto me, unto thy seed will I give this land, he will go before you, and thou shalt take a wife for my son from thence. Thus, that oath that is the foundation, Abraham himself, that he is going back to this time and time again. And not only to Abraham, but we read of Isaac. Then there comes in his life a great famine. Isaac will go down into Egypt, flee. And what does the Lord do? He says, no. No. Sojourn, he says, in this land, and I will fulfill that promise that I have spoken unto thy father Abraham. Thus the Lord, he is himself bringing it back. The Lord is himself making the seed of Abraham to rest in that promise from generation unto generation. What happened to Abraham's grandson, children, Jacob? Jacob. We know he sought the blessing. He did that in the wrong way. He now has an enemy. Who is it? It is his own brother. And that brother is behind him. He has murder in his heart. And in that night, and when he is laying there in the open field with all the wild beasts, their heaven goes open. And the Lord is speaking unto him, and the Lord is coming back upon this oath. Read it. Look it up. He is coming back upon this oath. When we go further, then we see Joseph on his deathbed. And when he is going to give blessing unto his children, that once again Joseph is coming back upon this promise and this oath of the Lord. Moses, how many times to the children of Israel is Moses not coming back again to this word that the Lord has spoken unto Abraham? And actually, if you read about the oath that the Lord has sworn to David, then actually that oath that is based upon the oath that the Lord has sworn unto Abraham. And we can go 2,000 years later, and then we can hear of Zacharias when he is prophesying concerning his own son. And then he is also singing of that oath which he unto Abraham swore. And congregation, we do not have so much time, but there is more. What is it that is contained in this promise, in this oath that the Lord has sworn unto Abraham? We read here that in that thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What does that mean? What is the gate? The gate of your enemies. What happened in the gate? The gate was that place of judgment. That the gate was where the council of the city met. Those that were the rulers of the city. And if there was a need, then you could come there to the gate. There they made the decisions. There they made their laws. Thus, when we read here, thy seed shall possess the gate. To possess the gate, that actually means that we possess the city. And if it is the gate of our enemies, then we possess the city of our enemies. What does that mean? That means that we have been victorious over our enemies, that we have taken over that city and all that belonged unto them. You can read of Rebekah. And when she had to leave her father's house, that they blessed her with this same blessing. Let thy seed possess the gate of his enemies. And now the Jewish nation, Israel, all that was true of them in many points, we can think about David. And how that the Lord has given him the victory over all his enemies as a type also of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can think about different times also, even that wicked Jeroboam II. But when the Lord has given the increase of that kingdom in a natural way. But then those, that Jewish nation, they were looking, even at the time of the birth of Christ, they were looking that They even could possess their own gates because it was the Romans, they were sitting in the gate. And that deliverance, that was to them everything. But do you know what they failed to see? Oh, they failed to see how that the true seed of Abraham, he was in possession of the gate of his enemies. They failed to see how that he has conquered the devil, how that he has taken away the power of Satan. And they failed to see how that he has bruised his head and that he now was sitting in the gate. Let us sing 193. 1, 2, 3, and 5. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge and give the poor redress. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 193. congregation, we see also in our text another increase in that revelation, and that concerns the people to whom this blessing is promised. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 15, we read that the Lord takes Abram out and he says to him, look up now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. So he says, shall thy seed be. Now, in Genesis 22, then the Lord, he says this also again, but he makes also a second comparison, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And then he adds something else. And as the sand which is upon the seashore. That sand, boys and girls, then you understand that that is just innumerable. Years ago, we would think, well, that sand, that is even much more than the stars in the heaven. But now, when they have more and more pictures further and further out into the heavens, then we don't know anymore what is more, the sand or the stars that are in the heavens. Nevertheless, the Lord doubles it up. And what does the Lord say with it? He says there is going to be a great, great increase in my church, in my church. But who is that church? Who is that seed? Because the Jews, they took a great pride when they would say, we are the children of Abraham. But we can read of Paul that he speaks of those who walked in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Because that promise that he should be the heir of the world, that was not to Abram and his seed through the law. Through that ceremonial law also, but through the righteousness that is of faith. Thus, the Lord, before there was a national church, because that was not there yet, we had just now, it goes from the personal, the individual, to the family. It goes to the patriarchs. It will go wider to the nation, and then it will go ecclesiastical. Before that national church is there already, the Lord, he is speaking about that ecclesiastical church, and he gives, therefore, a promise concerning the great increase of that seed. Shall not only be the children of Abraham in a natural way, no, but that will be his true children. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. John, in Revelation 7, he writes, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. All nations, we read, they shall come, and they shall worship him. Oh, that tree of life, we read, that will be for the healing of the nations. And it will be the nations that will come, And they will walk by the light of that Lamb of God forever and forever. What does Christ say? He says, many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. O congregation, then it will be from the furthest kingdoms of the world, but it will also be from Canada, from the United States, from the Netherlands, that a great multitude will be brought in. Is that not a wonder to us? That the Lord, He has spoken, not just of a Jewish nation, but that the Lord, He has spoken of the Gentiles. That the Lord, He has spoken of all nations. That is why that we may be gathered here together in this morning hour. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That is a promise for a world that is lying under the curse. Are there those here that lie under the curse? We all lie under the curse, yes. But are there those who feel it? That we lie under the curse. That is not a promise that is made to each and every individual of those nations, no. That is a promise which concerns that chosen seed. It is a promise which concerns the Lord's elect. But in the experienced congregation, then they will know what it means that we have fallen from God. And what kind of blessings will then they seek from Him who left the place of His glory and came to this sin-cursed earth? Oh, what does the apostle say? He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, spiritual blessings. Oh, do you desire spiritual blessings? Regeneration, that is a spiritual blessing. Do you desire that, boys and girls? Regeneration. Oh, the Lord says, that is now a blessing that He is going to give amidst all the nations of the world. Or has He given it even also unto us? Or will we miss it? Will we miss it? When the nations are gathered in, the forgiveness of sins, that is a spiritual blessing, the deliverance from sin, the deliverance from that triple-headed enemy. Spiritual blessings. Oh, are there those who say, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is that people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Oh, like that eunuch who was reading, who was seeking, who was searching for what? For spiritual blessings, and so he may receive them. Are those also to be found among us? Congregation, in our fall, we fell away from all the blessings. Oh, they were promised through obedience. And we have turned our back unto it. And now the Lord, after the curse, He says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thy seed, that is now the only way. Or when we would have an expectation to come in a different way, then that expectation that has first to be lost. That expectation has to fall away. That expectation has to be cut off. Our Father said, I hope that you may quickly work yourself to death. Work yourself to death. Why? Because when you may die to all that other expectation, oh, there is another expectation that is waiting to be revealed, that is waiting to be opened up. Oh, that is that I may behold that way of salvation that no man hath heard and no man hath seen except it were revealed from above. Oh, they are the mysteries. Wherefore that people, they will one day glorify, magnify God for his wisdom, for his righteousness, for his complete salvation. 2 weeks ago, we heard how the Lord Jesus had said that the word that will be preached unto all the world, and then shall the end come. Oh, what is he doing? He is going back again to this oath. The oath, congregation of the Lord, that cannot go unfulfilled because he has sworn by himself. Thus, that word that must go out unto all the world. And then, when that last one is brought in, then he says, shall the end come? Oh, how will that be for us soon, Christmas? That we may commemorate it in our midst, but do we have the blessing? Are we also blessed in him? There is with him neither Jew nor Greek. There is with him neither bond nor free. There is with him neither male nor female. But those, he says, that are Christ's, they are Abraham's seed, and they are the heirs according to the promise. All on the nations, they are gathered together, multitudes, multitudes, multitudes. And we will stand there before that throne of God. Do you know what Christ says? He says, when you shall see them come from the east and the west. And when you shall see them sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets in the kingdom of God, he says, there shall be weeping, there shall be wailing, and gnashing of teeth, when you yourself are thrust out. Congregation, you say, there is with me no hope because I have no power. I feel my deadness. Oh, I feel the power of the devil that goes so much with my own flesh. Oh, yes, you are right. You are so right. But, oh, may you not see him ever, that he is possessing the gate of his enemies, that he has conquered the devil and all his power, so that by one word of his power and Satan, he is not able to hold you in that death for one more moment. That is what he said, impossible with men, but possible with God. But what is our life? Because Abraham, he gave his own son, sacrificed his own son. And what did he receive? He received a multitude of children, not only in the world, but a spiritual seed. Would that not be a wonder, fathers and mothers? If we had also a spiritual seed. The Father, He gave also his own Son to sacrifice him, and that he may receive what? Oh, that he may receive a seed that shall serve him forever and forever. And now what does the Lord say? He says, he that forsaketh houses, brethren, sisters, fathers, mothers, wife, children, lands, peoples, for my sake, they shall receive. They shall receive. They shall receive an hundredfold in this time, spiritual blessings. And in the world to come, life everlasting. Oh, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, rest, peace, righteousness, life, grace here, glory hereafter. O congregation, seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy word comes to us. O bring it in our hearts, and do with it as thou pleasest. Could it please thee to raise us from the dead, and to give a little encouragement to young and old together, to go home now, and to go upon their knees, and to say, Lord, thou hast promised that in thy seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Lord, could there be a people that could not let thee go except that thou would bless them? Remember us in this day further. Help him that will lead in the afternoon service. Keep us all from sin in thy day, from a sudden and an unprepared death, from all danger and harm. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 195:1-4. Abundant fields of grain shall wave, all white for harvesting, and boundless joy and gladness fill the city of the King. 1-4 of 195. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.